Die Gemara is welchen daf and daf says that David and Shlomo learns from Pesukim that David and Shlomo at one point in their lives were working on the sugya of Yerushalayim. They were working on the sugya, to be more precise, of Makom HaMikdash. They're trying to figure out where the Beis HaMikdash ought to be built. Looking at different Pesukim, looking for different hints. Ben Kesef of Shachin, it's described that the Makam Ashkin is described as being in the Chalik of Binyamin, that's the Bracha of Binyamin. Ben Kesef of on his shoulders, that means high, but not the highest. And David and Shmuel were looking at different hints in the Tanakh to figure out Ayei Makam Kavodo, where we ought to seek to build the Beis HaMikdash, and ultimately they came to the conclusion it should be on Har Moriah, which we call Har Habayis, on the edge of Yerushalayim. And in the Sefer Shmuel, David buys Makam Mikdash from Aravna Yevusi. As we know from Divrei HaYamim, David does not get the chance to actually build the Beis HaMikdash, but does as much as he can in laying the groundwork, including literally laying the groundwork, buying the real estate that would ultimately be the Makam Mikdash. So Shechter points out that the Chasam Sofer wonders about this in several tshuvas, both in Arachaim and Yerodea. How could it be that David and Shmuel did not know where the Makam Mikdash was meant to be? There are at least two indications that that is not the case. Number one, there's a Gemara in Bava Basra, Kufchav Beis Lamed Aleph. The Gemara says that when they divide Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yehoshua, so they divided Eretz Yisrael. The pieces aren't all equally sized. When the Sefer Yeshua describes the chalakim that each shevet gets, so how come they're not all equally sized? So one of the ideas the Gemara raises, Kufchav Beis and Bava Basra, is Nitzchal Kalukzafim, that perhaps it was divided by value. Because there could be smaller pieces of land that have more dense in value. There could be larger pieces of land, but they're less dense in value. So it could end up different sizes, but the same ultimate value. What would drive the higher or lower price per acre of different parts of Eretz Yisrael? So Rashbam there says, well, based on the Gemara, Rashbam says, well, the Gemara says, depends how close or how far. How close or how far to Yerushalayim. Right, if you have a piece of land that's close to Yerushalayim, if no Beis HaMikdash there yet, then there'll be a Beis HaMikdash, so that'll be prime real estate. So Chasam Sofer says, what do you mean close to Father Yerushalayim? Who knew? I thought David and Shmuel, a couple centuries later, are working through the sugya of where we're supposed to build Makam Mikdash. So in the days of Yehoshua, there was nothing. There was nothing. So why did that impact value then? And then there's an even more pressing question, the Gemara that some of you have seen in your Leaving out the Kiyos in past years. Gemara Megillah Daf Chavav and elsewhere discusses the notion that perhaps Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim. Gemara has a debate when Yehoshua and the Nesiim divided Eretz Yisrael among the Shvatim, was Yerushalayim a part of that division or not? And there's a beautiful Brisker Rav, not really our focus right now, who discusses what the significance of that is. Either way, it belonged. Yerushalayim ultimately belonged to Kol Yisrael. It was national property of Kol Yisrael, because if it was Nischalka L'Shvatim, still the David is described as having collected money from all the Shvatim in order to purchase that property from Rav Naivusi. So certainly, financially speaking, the property of all of Kol Yisrael. Rav suggests in the Sefer on the Rambam, the question is whether it even had any identity or not. Lahavdil, you could have, if a fellow from New Jersey buys a piece of land in Colorado, so Dini Mamonis wise, it belongs to someone who lives in New Jersey. But it's legally, in terms of its status, it's still Colorado land, even though it was bought by some New Jerseyan. So Lahavdil, there's a certain status, a certain chal shem of being Eretz Yehuda, Eretz Zevulun, Eretz Binyamin, which is irrespective of who owns it right now. And that chal shem in Isravat, so that's the question, whether Nischalka L'Shvatim, lo Nischalka L'Shvatim, did Yerushalayim have to, from the outset, be beyond any Shevet identity? Okay, so that's a discussion where as a Megillah and elsewhere. But once again, the question is, wait, in the days of Yehoshua, how could you entertain the possibility that Yerushalayim lo Nischalka L'Shvatim? I thought it was only several centuries later David and Shmuel figure out where Makom Mikdash is supposed to be built. What was so special about Yerushalayim beforehand? Yeah, what do you say?
They didn't even know that it was in Yerushalayim, or they didn't know where Yerushalayim.
It seems like they didn't even know. That's a good question. You say maybe they're just trying to work out the exact location. It sounds like things were pretty wide open. It sounds like it was not just within a couple of miles. But that could be one solution. Maybe the whole discussion that David and Shmuel had, again, the Gemara in Zvachim and Dalam and Beis, was where within Yerushalayim. Maybe. I think if you look there, you get the impression that everything was on the table, though. It wasn't just the immediate vicinity of Yerushalayim. So this historical question, Rabbi Shechter suggested this historical question that the Chasam Sofer raises, the steer between Zvachim Nundal on the one hand, that David and Shmuel work on the sugya versus Bava Basa Kuv Chavez and Megillah Chavav. There was something special about Yerushalayim from the days of Chalukas Haaretz centuries earlier. So he suggested this historical question might yield to appreciating Yerushalayim right now. And let's take a look at from things that seem so far away. Let's look at things that are so present in our lives every single day. Parts of our Orach Chaim, parts of our daily davening and Birkas HaMazon that hopefully on a Yom Yerushalayim picks up added focus and heightened significance, and a significance hopefully that lasts long after Chaf Ches Iyar passes from the calendar. We mention Yerushalayim in the benching, we mention Yerushalayim in Shmoneh Esrei. The Gemara tells us in Brachas Memches that in Perek Shal Shashachul, the seventh Perek of Brachas, dedicated to Birkas HaMazon. The Gemara says we have three core Brachas of benching. Atov HaMeitiv, the fourth Bracha is a later addition. Three Brachas that are rooted in the Psukim. One is about food entirely. One is about food and Eretz Yisrael and other gifts that relate to Eretz Yisrael. And the third Rachim is about what? What is Rachim about? Yerushalayim, right? The Chasimus HaBracha is Bonir Yerushalayim. The Gemara says, but you better make sure to include Malchus Beis David. Kol Shal Omar Malchus Beis David, Bonir Yerushalayim, Lo Yatzei Dechavasa. You have to mention Malchus Beis David as well. And the question is, why? And moreover, it seems like we're trying to fit lots of different topics into a single bracha. Those sound like they deserve two separate brachas. And then, if you look at Shmoneh Esrei, you see something a little bit parallel. In Shmoneh Esrei, in fact, there are two separate brachas. Yerushalayim Yechir Rachum Tashuv, Bonei Yerushalayim. And then, that's about Yerushalayim. The next bracha is about Malchus Beis David. Semach David Avdecha, Meher Satzmiach. We daven for Bias HaMashiach, with the language of asking for the restoration of Malchus Beis David. They are two separate brachas, but there's a Tosefta, Maseches Brachos, which says that if you want to, you could combine them into one. The Tosus Rid, as an aside, seems to believe that for many years, that Minhag Eretz Yisrael was that they were combined into one after they added the bracha of Olam Harshinim. And that's why the Tosfos Rid seems to understand that's why the name Shmoneh Esrei stuck. I'm sorry. Because when they added that bracha, Olam Harshinim, it would have become 19, like it is in our davening. But and that was Minhag Bavel. Minhag Eretz Yisrael was to make use of this Tosefta. And from that point on, they started combining Bonei Yerushalayim and Matzmiach Keren Yeshua into a single bracha. Tosfos Rid says that's why the Krovitz, the Piyut from Purim, which is apparently rooted in Minhag Eretz Yisrael, it isn't that they have a separate piece of the Piyut for each bracha of Chazaras Hashatz, but there's one piece that corresponds to those two brachas. Why? Because it's Tosefta that you can combine them into one, and that had been the common Minhag at the time. Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Which is, according to our nusach of the bracha, not only a line in the bracha, but the final line in the bracha. The more common girsa, that's the last line. And then you go straight into Boni Yerushalayim, which is somewhat troubling, because the Gemara has a rule that you always want to have me'ena chasima samach lachasima. Whenever you have a long bracha, bracha arukah by definition is not how many word count, but having the chasima at the end, baruch atah Hashem at the end. The Gemara said there are rules for that structure. One of the rules is that the last line before it is supposed to be me'ena chasima samach lachasima, supposed to parallel the content of the chasima itself, which is usually the case, but here it looks like an exception. Which one is it? Are we talking about Malchus Beis David, or are we talking about Yerushalayim? So what this seems to indicate, and this idea that Shechter developed in the, I think it's Simon Laman Gimel in Bikvi Atzon, the previous Simon Laman Beis was the one that we referenced extensively Yom Ha'atzmaut. It develops a halachic theory for the modern state of Israel. In Simon Laman Gimel, he develops the Tzvei Din Yerushalayim. He points out that Al Pi Halacha, not just in terms of history or practicality, but history and practicality reflect a halachic reality. Al Pi Din, there are two halachic aspects of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is meant to be the Makam Mikdash, and Yerushalayim is meant to be the capital of Malchus Beis David. Those are both dinim. Those are both halachic values and halachic principles and practical dinim. Those are both aspects of Yerushalayim. That's what's being captured in the fact that in Birk Samazan we do combine the two aspects of Yerushalayim into one. Malchus Beis David is an aspect of Yerushalayim as well as Mikdash. In the Shmon Esrei, Chazal set it up as an option, but the fact that there's an option to combine them into one speaks to the fact that they're fundamentally joined. And as Noam pointed out, even in the Bracha Boni Yerushalayim, it's Me'ena Chasima Samo Chasima, according to our Girsa, because they're one and the same. And that might explain, as Rav Shechter suggests, that might be the Teres of the Chasim Sofer's Kashas. That perhaps what had been forgotten, let's say if you hold Yerushalayim as Chavka L'Shvatim, but David and Shmuel knew the Yerushalayim was not Mechulak, and they knew perhaps also that the way the Chalukah had been done reflected the value, real estate value of proximity to Yerushalayim, but maybe that they perhaps were under the impression there was only one aspect. They had the impression, of course, it's significant to Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim was the Ir HaNivchar to be the seat of the Malchus HaNivcheres. And when there'll be a Malchus Beis David, maybe they weren't calling that point Malchus Beis David, when there'll be a Malchus HaNivcheres, that's supposed to be situated in Yerushalayim. But what had been lost was that it wasn't only that, but there was the other aspect as well that was meant to be Makam Mikdash. And let me close, wrap this together with the idea that Rabbi Neuberger mentioned last night. We had a beautiful Suda Soda last night, the Shir Divrei Torah, Kumzitz, Beth Abraham, Lakavad Yom Yerushalayim. And it was centered around a shiur that Rabbi Neuberger gave about the role of Yerushalayim in the unfolding of the Geula. And one of the points that he made, I believe he called it Rishal Yisraeli, is that the significance of this Chakira, the significance of Yerushalayim being both Al Pi Halacha, both the political capital and the spiritual epicenter, is that it captures, as Rabbi Neuberger put it, the mission statement of the Jewish people, which is to be machnes kedusha into physicality, as opposed to so many other idolatrous perspectives in the world that think you're going to find spirituality by running away from the physical. And to be physical, I mean, when you're physical, you're throwing away all of your ruchness. We reject it absolutely. We understand that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us l'kadesh as achomer, to make all of our physical living profoundly spiritual. That idea, which runs throughout halacha and hashkafa, all Tariq mitzvahs all over the world, but it's expressed particularly poignantly in the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu's vision is that the political capital and the spiritual epicenter are the same place. And Rosh Yisraeli suggested that's part of what echoed, perhaps what echoes Umas Olam so much about Yerushalayim being the capital. Maybe on a deeper level, the notion that we recognize, again, we're not yet Zocha Tamachos Beis David, but the notion that Yerushalayim, which billions of people understand is a spiritual center, whether they understand it properly or not, the notion that should also be the political center of the modern state of Israel, it's a difficult concept for Umas Olam to embrace. But it captures so much of who we are and what we are every day of the year all over the world, and watching HaKadosh Baruch Hu begin to peel away the layers of Galus with extraordinary Nisim in and around Yerushalayim is something that not only opens our eyes to seeing Yad Hashem, it fills us with Hodah that we have a state in it that's grown, but continues to give us greater and greater insight into how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to live.